Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
So we got that established. So if I'm going to get in faith, then first, undoubtedly, I must have God's Word. Isn't that right? I've got to have God's Word. I've got to find a scripture in the Bible, or scriptures in the Bible that covers what I want from God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10, 17. So you could simply say it this way and not change the Bible. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. If you want faith about the things of God, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. How do we know that? The Bible says so. So faith comes by what? Faith comes by what? How do we know? The Bible says so. So let's talk about, and this brings us to the subject that's been greatly misunderstood. And it's the subject of the confession of God's Word. Again, I've made some statements up front, but I'll cover some of that ground again. Many are in opposition in denominational type churches. And again, I'm not attacking any church whatsoever, but it's a misunderstanding. They think that when we confess God's Word, that we are trying to force God or make God do something that He don't want to do. But remember, you and I got a revelation, didn't we? What's our revelation? God is bigger than we are, and we can't make Him do anything that He don't already want to do. It don't matter how much you say something, how much you claim something, if God doesn't already want to do it, guess what? He's not going to do it. So the purpose of confession, when we're talking about this, people think, again, that misunderstand this, and it's probably because we misrepresented it. You know, sometimes you get the impression of listening to some things about confession that people just say, if you just say it enough, you'll get it. Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that. If you just say it enough, you'll get it. The Bible does talk about speaking the Word, but it also talks about believing the Word. There's two ingredients. So the purpose of the confession is this: faith comes by hearing God's Word. So I've got to hear God's Word. The purpose of confession, ladies and gentlemen, again, as I've already said, and I'll add it to what I've already said, is not to try to get God to do anything for you. You never confess God's Word for God's benefit. You never speak God's Word out of your mouth for God's benefit. Let me say that again. You never speak the Word of God out of your mouth for God's benefit. Why? I knew you'd ask that question. Somehow, I just knew it. The reason you never speak God's Word for God's benefit is because He wrote the Bible. And He knows it better than you do. So if I'm not confessing God's Word for His benefit, what am I confessing it for? Romans 10, 17 says faith comes from what? Hearing God's Word. I'm confessing the Word of God for my benefit. So if the purpose of confession is not for God's benefit, and it's not to get God to do anything for me, then what is the purpose of confession? I knew somehow you was going to ask that. The purpose of the confession of God's Word, number one, is to get you in faith, me in faith. Number two, keep me in faith until whatever I'm believing for comes into manifestation in the physical, material world. You understand that? Confession. And I believe that when people understand it that way, regardless of people that's fought against confession, when they understand it this way, that we're not trying to force God or make God do something for us, then they will change their mind and may go in a different direction. Because Jesus said that we can have what we say if we believe it in our heart and say it with our mouth. So can I tell you this true story? I probably will anyway. But anyway, I'll tell you the true story. Remember the story about me getting out of prison? Well, let me cover that again because it fits right here. I was in prison as a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian. I'd gotten gloriously right with God on my third escape from prison, went back, and then I'm pastoring a convict church. When I pastored a convict church, I mean, our little audience grew through a series of just seeking God and praying. It went from a period of about 11 guys to over 150, or 120 up to 150, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-casting out, divine healing-believing convicts. And I can tell you this unequivocally, with no hesitation, as a convict pastor, I had a captive audience. I had a captive audience. They was locked up with me. And so we went, I could tell, I held them captive. You've heard the statement, well, I truly had them captive. Well, I was just going along because God was moving, you know, just like He does here with your pastors and this church and around here and the ministers here. God was moving in our church just like He does around here. Miracles were happening just like around here. Gifts of the Spirit were in operation just like they were around here. And I was just skating along. You know what I mean? You ever skated along? I've skated along just thinking that I was just such a good old boy, you know. And I was on a buddy system with God. And me and God had it going on. You know what I mean? And just God just liked me somehow, you know. And I just stood out as a shining light. And when it come time for them to review me for parole, which was almost impossible, but if they did, then I would just automatically get out because God and I were on the buddy system. You know what I mean? Just good boys, good old boys, good buddies with God, you know. And so one day, I got a letter from the parole board of the prison. And they had said that we're going to review you. By law, we have to review you. I'd been off of escape for about 2 years. And we got to review you by law, but that doesn't mean that we're going to hear your case. There will be a parole representative that comes to the prison on this date, I believe it's on a Friday, and your time to meet with them, there's going to meet with other convicts too, and consider them getting out, but your time to meet with them, and you're supposed to report to so-and-so. Of course, the captain of the guards and all those in authority got the same thing and information so they could have me at the right place at the right time. So the day came and I met with this parole interview person, and you had to have certain information about where you're going to live. Do you have a job? Do all this kind of stuff. Is somebody going to help you, you know, when you get out? All this. So I had all this information for him, gave it to him. And he said, we don't know, you know, about what's going to happen. He said, I'll just give them a recommendation. He said, but they make the final decision. And that was on May the, I think in May, right in there somewhere, of 1984. Well, after I talked to him, you know, and he told me about that, on May the 31st of 1984, it looked like nothing was going to work because I got this letter from the parole board, and it said this when I opened it up. They got it through the convict mail. You know, they call your name and give it to you. So they gave me this letter. And I opened the letter up, and this letter said, Randall Greer, you know, and by prison number, it said, you will be considered for release from prison on parole in the month of none. And then down at the bottom of this letter, it said, furthermore, you'll be reconsidered in the future for release on parole in the month of none. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got excited just like you would, because I'm getting out of this place in the month of none. I'm walking out of them gates in the month of none. It's a guaranteed fact that I'm getting out in the month of none. And I got very excited till I went and found a calendar. And I looked on that calendar and I found the month of January all the way down to December, but I hadn't located that month of none yet. If you find it before I do, you please let me know. And it finally dawned on my old thick skull that what they're telling me is that I'm getting out of prison on parole in the month of none, which means not. You're not getting out. This is it. So I went out. It was May the 31st, 1984. I'll never forget it. I went out in the prison recreation yard. And it was about noontime, lunchtime, chow time, they called it in the prison. People were going to the chow hall, but I decided I'm going on a fast. And I took that letter out there on my prayer path where I didn't walk the grass off, you know, didn't walk down that path. There's nothing but bare dirt because I didn't walk the grass off, walking down one corner of the fence, walking to the other corner. I guess if you walk from there down to the corner and back and then over here, it'd be a quarter of a mile, I'd say, about what it was. And that's the whole thing, you know, back and forth. And you couldn't go ever, all the rest of the prison yard, you know, that was off limits. And you were supposed to go there. And they had these guards and gun towers with, you know, rifles and shotguns to make sure that you didn't get in the places you weren't supposed to. I had been in some of them places. And the bullets get to flying, you know what I mean? And so I started showing the Lord this letter like it, you know, he didn't know what it said. And I said, Lord, you told me on my third escape that you'd get my life out of the mess I got it into, and I would do what you called me to do. But this letter's saying that I'm getting out in the month of none. He said, son, he said, I didn't put you in that prison. He gave me a revelation. He said, you put your own self there because you disobeyed me. He said, if you'd obeyed my word and my will from the time that you was a young child when I called you into the ministry, he said, you'd have never went behind prison bars. He said, so I didn't put you there. He said, another thing is, he said, you would have already got out of prison. You'd be out right now. He said, if you hadn't done all these extracurricular activities. Escaping. I called it going on vacation, but they flat got mad about it. I'm telling you, they got mad. You know, when you're a career criminal, they don't give you vacations. They don't give you vacations. They don't think nothing about it. So if you want a vacation, don't be a career criminal. They don't give you any. They get mad about it. They got mad, added to my time. I mean, just everything. He said, you'd already been out. And he said, I'm going to speed up the process. And he said, you are the righteousness of God. And he said, if you'll obey my word, John 15:7, which says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He said, you'll walk out those prison gates. He said, but if you don't, you won't. That's the way he told me. John 15:7. You could imagine I had a little Bible in my convict shirt pocket. I pulled that Bible out to make sure I knew exactly what it said, and I'd read it many times. But it said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, more than a head knowledge, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I said, all right, Lord, I'm ready to obey it. What do I do? He said, get you some notebook, paper, and a pencil. He said, you don't have 1 ounce of faith to trust me to open these prison gates and get you out of here. And he was right. I didn't. So I went to this little locker that I had in the maintenance shop because I was on the inmate convict electrical crew, you know. And so I had some paper and a pen, or a pencil is what it was. And I sat down on this old wooden bench. We'd made out of a tube of tins. You know how you do, put the top with a tube of tin and some boards and put some braces underneath it. And that was our sofa in prison. I mean, I was our lazy boy. I was our kickback right there. I'm telling you the truth about it. So I just sat down and flopped down on there, and he began to give me scriptures. They're all in the back of my book out here. I don't know, 10 or 15 of them. All you got to do is believe one or two, though, and it'll put you over. But he gave me enough. I need to have some ammunition. But I wrote them down. He said, now I want you to take these scriptures. And he said, I want you to walk the prison yard and read these scriptures out loud to yourself. Why? Faith comes from what? Hearing the word of God. How do we know? The Bible says so. I didn't have faith. I needed faith. I didn't have faith. I needed faith. If you need faith, you get it from God's word. How do you get it from God's word? By hearing God's word. And the person you're going to believe above everybody else on this planet is yourself. You can get a measure of faith from hearing me, hearing your pastors, or hearing other ministers or whatever, but you're going to get the most faith by hearing the word of God for yourself. Find scriptures that covers your case. You don't have to get the whole Bible, but at least get two or three and read them out loud to yourself. So I took off on that journey. I'm walking that prayer path, and I'm reading them off of that sheet of notebook papers, you know, that lined, ruled notebook paper like they'd have in school, you know. And I just read them scriptures off, and I read them for about an hour, maybe a little over, and guess what happened to me at the end of an hour? Oh, my God, guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, nothing. I mean, my mouth was dry. I wanted a drink of water, but I mean, I still had these thoughts of doubt. I mean, I still had this letter looming in my mind about you're getting out in the month of none. But I stayed with it. I got me a sip of water, you know, and I went on about my business. And I just kept reading them scriptures. And finally, I just memorized them, not trying to. But if you read the same scriptures over an hour, they just kind of get down in your spirit, you know. And it just starts working in there. You get in your mind first, then they get down in your spirit. And so after about an hour, I memorized them. And I folded the paper up, put it in my pocket. Every now and then, I couldn't recall exactly what the word was. And I'd pull the paper out and look right quick. Yeah, that's it. And put it back in my pocket. And then I went on this way for about 2 hours, and guess what happened at the end of 2 hours? Absolutely nothing. By this time, my mouth is double dry. I need three sips of water. and I'm still going. But I knew he said to confess the word. Now, I'm not saying it's going to take you this long, but I had so much doubt and unbelief that I had to blow that mess out of my head, you know what I mean, in order for this to get down, the word of God to get in my spirit. So after about 2.5 hours of confessing that word out loud to myself, I mean, just saying it over and over and over and over and over and over. After about 2.5 hours, let me tell you what happened. Faith came. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And faith came. I mean, I felt so good. I mean, I was going to sing that old song. I'll fly away, oh glory.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.